SBS Radio.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Amit. How are you?
I'm good, and it's all about politics this week. So tell us more on what is making headlines on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. And let's start with an event you guys attended at the Woolper Hospital in Sydney.
Yes, well, the Australian Jewish News attended a Friends of Woolper Hospital event in Sydney last Sunday, where former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, and of course the long-time MP for Wentworth, the electorate, the federal electorate with the highest number of Jews residing in it, Mr. Turnbull shed light for the first time on his thoughts about the results of the federal election and also of the previous by-election for Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting because Mr. Turnbull said that the government showed a patronising insensitivity and a complete misunderstanding of the Australian Jewish community on the eve of the Wentworth by-election. He said, of course, on the eve of that by-election, there was an announcement by the government to consider moving Australia's embassy to Jerusalem. He said the timing of that was a really dumb thing. And he said, whatever your views on the merits of moving the Australian embassy to Jerusalem, he said, I thought the timing was just calculated to win support. And it showed a patronizing insensitivity to the Jewish community. He said, personally, I think the government's position on that, to leave the embassy where it was in the end and not change the position, was the right one. But he said it was calculated to receive support from the Jewish community, and he said that was very bad policy. He also said he believes the Liberal Party snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in that by-election, which, of course, was won by independent Karen Phelps, who since, in the last federal election, lost the seat of Wentworth to Liberal candidate Dave Sharma. So he said there were other factors at play as well. He took aim at the right-wing elements of the Liberal Party, who he said successfully conspired to overthrow him as Prime Minister. He said, I'm not suggesting that they were terrorists or anything politically, but he said what they did in the Liberal Party, and it's one of the fundamental problems of the Liberal Party, is that over time, they regularly threaten to, and in fact have, been prepared to blow the government up. And he said, regarding the federal election, that he was happy that he was able to use his influence to ensure that Scott Morrison was his successor and not Peter Dutton. And he said everyone thought Labor was going to win the federal election, so they focused on Labor's policies, which were pretty unpalatable to many people. And they also focused on Labor's leader. So he said that he believes Scott Morrison has actually done a very good job as Prime Minister so far. So these were quite fiery comments, particularly about the eve of the by-election of Wentworth.
Yes, it is. Let's move on to talk about the letter that former Australian diplomats have written to Prime Minister Scott Morrison about not supporting the Middle East peace process. Tell us more.
Yes, so there's been an open letter from a group of former Australian diplomats that actually urged Prime Minister Scott Morrison not to support the US Middle East peace plan. And the Executive Council of Australian Jewry has expressed a lot of concern about this letter and portrayed the letter as a clear bias and an alarming lack of understanding about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The letter, which was sent last week, claims the Arab-Israeli conflict is, quote, grounded in Israel's occupation and systematic denial of Palestinian human rights. And the letter blames Israel alone for the failure of the Oslo Accords, as the signatories of the letter actually include two former ambassadors to Israel. Questioning the claim in the letter that Israel rejects the notion of a Palestinian state, Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rivkin asked, why then did Israel make three comprehensive offers of Palestinian statehood in the 15 years following Oslo, only for these offers to be violently rebuffed? He said it was predictable that the Palestinian leadership would boycott a worthwhile endeavor, talking about the current peace plan put forward by the Trump administration. But he said it's exceedingly disappointing that the group of individuals who signed this letter should reject it as well. They should know better, he said. And meanwhile, Rifkin's fellow co-CEO, Peter Wertheim, has commended Scott Morrison's stance, hard stance against Iran and their nuclear deal, and his support for Donald Trump on that. Wertheim noted Iran's quest for hegemony regionally and beyond, and its attempts to spread its theocratic totalitarian ideology and its use of brutal repression domestically and military force and terrorism externally.
And jumping on to other news, another article I saw this week is the visit of Jewish leaders at the Argentinian embassy in Canberra to mark the deadly attacks of the Argentinian Jewish community about 25 years ago.
Yes, Jewish leaders joined diplomats and politicians at the Argentinian ambassador's residence in Canberra last week to mark a quarter of a century since the deadly bombing of an Argentinian Jewish community center. Now, of course, on July 18, 1994, 85 people were killed and hundreds injured in the blast at the Association Mutual Israelita Argentina building in Buenos Aires, the country's deadliest terror attack. The commemoration organized by Argentina's foreign ministry and held in Canberra was in partnership with the ACT Jewish community, and attendees included Argentinian Ambassador Hugo Gobbi and Israeli Ambassador to Australia Mark Zofair, as well as ACT Jewish community President Veronica Laidman, who describes herself as a third-generation Argentinian Jew. And she said, although Hezbollah and Iran are widely believed responsible for this terrorist attack all those years ago, she noted there has almost certainly been an Argentinian government cover-up, and no one had ever held the government to account, the Argentinian government. So she said, it's with a heavy heart that I stand here today as a citizen of Argentina and Australia, and as a Jew and a leader in the Jewish community. I hope that we should not have to wait another 25 years for answers and for justice, she said. Meanwhile, Rabbi Shmueli Feldman, who is from Chabad ACT, also spoke of his time as a shaliach in Argentina, and he ended the ceremony with a prayer and led a minute's silence.
Can't believe how time flies. Moving on, and tell us about New South Wales Labor leader Judy McKay and her acknowledgement to the Jewish community.
So newly elected New South Wales Labor leader Judy McKay has acknowledged the Jewish community's enormous contribution to the state of New South Wales and says she's looking forward to meeting the communal leadership. She's also the member for Strathfield, who defeated COGRA MP Chris Minns in a leadership ballot last weekend. In comments provided exclusively to the Jewish News, she acknowledged the huge contribution of the New South Wales Jewish community to building a tolerant and cohesive multicultural and multi-faith society. And she said she would meet with the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies as soon as she settled into her new position. She's actually also going to be the multiculturalism minister too. Jewish Board of Deputies President Leslie Berger congratulated her on her leadership victory within the Labor Party and said the Jewish community has enjoyed a long and constructive relationship with New South Wales Labor over many decades, and we look forward to continuing that relationship with Mrs. McKay.
To finish off, I would like you to share with us two wonderful, heartwarming stories, and the first one on an El Al flight from Bangkok to Israel.
Yes. Sydney resident Kate Kessel, who's a registered nurse at Sydney St. Vincent Hospital, was 4 hours into a flight from Bangkok to Tel Aviv with her husband Noel, who is a former Jewish news photographer, when an Israeli man on the flight, who was in his 70s, just a few rows behind them, became seriously ill. There was no doctor on board, and with the prospect of the plane having to make an emergency landing if this man's condition did not improve, it was left to Kate Kessel to ameliorate the situation. She told us, they pretty much handed it over to me. I had to medicate him. I had to check all his vital signs and try to speak and calm him using a translator. and work out how to resolve the situation. She used equipment from the plane's medical kit. She checked the man's vital signs, blood sugar level and blood pressure, of which she said were astronomically high. And she also learnt the man had left both his insulin and hypertension medication behind in a Bangkok hotel. So after liaising with a doctor in Israel via radio in the plane's cockpit, Kessel administered metformin and also made sure the man was stabilized. And the outcome was really, really good. The man quickly became back in good health, and he was later checked on landing at Ben Gurion Airport. She just told us, Kessel, she was just simply glad she could help and do her best in the situation. And briefly, two Jewish doctors in Sydney enjoyed a most heartfelt reunion late last month, just weeks after one of them was the other's patient in a new type of life-saving surgery called a robotic coronary artery bypass graft. When Bondi Junction GP Dr. Harry Johnson, who's 75 years old, experienced chest pain and he got tests back, he was told he needed open heart surgery. But he called Dr. Levi Batson, whom he knew as a friend and as a former work colleague. And he Dr. Batson happens to be only one of three surgeons in Australia who can perform this type of robotic surgery. So they had the operation done, and it was performed. And the amazing thing is Dr. Johnson was able to go back to work and see his patients just 7 days after the operation. Dr. Levi Batson told us he's absolutely delighted with his patients' and good friends' speedy recovery. He said, "Harry and I have a long history together, so it was an amazing opportunity for me to be able to look after him."
It's so nice to hear some positive news towards the end. Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much for joining us, and speak to you next week.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.